Encourage you to turn either in your Bibles or in the bulletin to our scripture reading for this morning from Matthew chapter 9, verses 35 through 38. As you're turning there, let's commit our hearts to the Lord that He would speak to us. Let's pray together. Lord God, unless You speak to us, we are desperately in need. We need to hear Your voice speaking to us, giving us life, calling us into the life that You created for us. Speak to us now by Your Spirit. Lead us as we hear Your word and hear it preached. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 9, verses 35 to 38. Jesus went through all the towns and villages, teaching in their synagogues, proclaiming the good news of the kingdom, and healing every disease and sickness. When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them, because they were harassed and helpless, like sheep without a shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, "The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest, therefore, to send out workers into his harvest field." This is the word of the Lord.
Witnessing and evangelism. It's stressful, even for us professionals, even just to think about it. One guy wrote this, he said about witnessing. He said, "My mind goes blank, my palms get sweaty, and nothing I say seems to make any sense." Ever had that experience? Maybe you've tried your hand at sharing your faith with someone, and all it brought for you is some stress and pressure and this sort of sense of failure, I guess. And oftentimes, we feel that way because we're supposed to do it. We're supposed to share our faith. And it doesn't help matters that we hear all these great stories, preachers and other people tell us, you know, I was on the plane and the guy next to me came to faith, and then I looked across the aisle and that family came to faith, and then the flight attendant, and you know, it goes on and on. And those stories just don't help, do they? Because we're thinking about, you know, our unchurched friend or neighbor in our neighborhood or in our workplace, and we're thinking, if that guy went and sat down next to my friend and shared that same story, I mean, do people really do this? Do people just drop all they're doing when somebody shares faith with them and just receive Christ right there and then? I think our problem is this. You know, we feel this pressure because there are two things that we focus on when we share our faith. The first is, did we share? And the second is, did they pray the prayer? Did we share and did they pray the prayer? And so we get in our car, you know, we finally shared, we finally broken the ice, and we get in our car and we drive back and we say, I did it. We share with their Bible study or we share with somebody at home and we say, I finally was successful at what a Christian is supposed to do. We don't care what happened after that. We just care that we finally shared. Or if we're really professional and slick, you know, somebody maybe prays the prayer to receive faith in Christ. And we feel at that moment, finally, I'm successful at evangelism and witness. Well, I don't know if any of these stories strike a chord with you, but what I am hoping to do today, our goal, and I should say, our message is on witnessing, and Steve Hartman and I talked about that, and I should have said to Steve when he assigned me this topic, I should have said to him, do I really have to? You know, because there's just so much sort of pressure and fear that's sort of built up in people when we get to this topic. But just relax. You know, my hope today is that by the end of this message, you are going to just breathe a whoo, big sigh of relief and say, wow, you know, witnessing is something that I'm already doing maybe and doing pretty well at. And maybe this is something I really do want to be involved in. See, the reason is that many of us have perspectives and approaches to witnessing that aren't found in Scripture and even contradict what Jesus taught and the models we find there. And so today, what we want to do is we want to learn especially what is God's part in witnessing and what is our part. We want to learn God's part, namely that God is the one who saves. God's part is salvation. And we want to learn our part, Namely, that our part is simply to cultivate spiritual friendship with our friends, neighbors, and coworkers. God's part is salvation. Our part is cultivation. That's our message for the morning. Now, our Bible text is widely believed to have been written by a former tax collector named Matthew, who became one of Jesus' 12 disciples. And the reason that's important is that Matthew is not just some remote character who wrote some things about Jesus. He was a close confidant of Jesus. He was amongst the original 12 disciples. He was an eyewitness to Jesus' life. He was in the intimate circle. And we can trust as reliable the things that Matthew tells us about Jesus' life. And Matthew begins our reading by giving an account of Jesus' ministry, but more importantly, giving us a window into the heart of God. Let me explain. In Colossians 1:15, it says that Jesus is the visible representation of the invisible God. And what that means, if you want to know what God is like, look at Jesus. And the activity of Jesus here is all about pursuing love. You know, Matthew says of Jesus that he went through all the towns and villages proclaiming the good news of the kingdom and healing every disease. But not only does Matthew give us a window into God's heart, but he gives us a window in our own hearts as well. In verse 36, he says that when Jesus stood there in the synagogues and looked at the crowds, what's the word he uses there? Verse 36. Somebody say it out. He had compassion on the crowd. It's a word that literally means that Jesus' bowels were moved within him. In other words, his heart broke. His heart broke when he saw the crowds, because he was looking at respectable people in his day. He was in the synagogues, and these were respectable Jewish people, but he saw into their lives, and he, just as he sees into our lives, and he says, they are harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. And that means he saw their fear, and he saw their anxiety, and he saw their broken relationships, and he saw what keeps them up at night and what they do in secret. He saw all of that, and he sees all of that with us. And he met that with a message of forgiveness and a ministry of healing. And the reference really is to the prophet Ezekiel, who 600 years earlier looked at the respectable Jews in his world. And he said, woe to the shepherds of Israel. This is Ezekiel chapter 34. You have not strengthened the weak or healed the sick. You have not brought back the strays or searched for the lost. And the point there is that God's heart is a pursuing heart in love. And many of us have experienced that pursuit of God, and we have come to faith. And that's only because we've experienced God pursuing us. And if we look at our stories, we can find in there how God pursued us. Now, others of you maybe have not yet experienced that pursuing love of God, but maybe you will sense that and respond to that this morning. Recently, and I should say that that's the message that really compels us at our Pump Road site. Recently, we got some updated demographic data of folks in the West End. And if you were to put a compass point down on Short Pump Town Center and create a circle with a 5-mile radius, there are 126,000 people right around Short Pump Town Center. 126,000 people. Let that sink in. And that takes you down to the south to Patterson Avenue, and that takes you out to the west into Goochland, up to the north into Windham and Glen Allen. And to the east, it takes you about to Gaskins Road. Just in that footprint, there are about 126,000 people. And furthermore, about a third of them, or 42,000, have a strong faith tie, reportedly, self-reportedly. Another third have a weak or mild tie to a faith, and fully a third, or 42,000 people in that footprint, say, I have no faith tie whatsoever. That's what they reported. And so we feel that that really compels us. As Jesus even, went out to all the towns and villages, we have to be pushed out as a church into that mission field as well. And so that really compels us. So where are we in our message this morning? So far, Matthew has given us a picture of God's pursuing love in the person of Jesus. You know, it's the mission of God to pursue people and to save them. That's God's part. Now what's our part in the salvation drama? Well, verse 37 says this, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, 'The harvest is plentiful, but the workers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest therefore to send out workers into the harvest field.'" So this is the metaphor Jesus gives, and he says the setting is a field with crops. And there are two characters, there's the workers and there's the Lord of the harvest. Now, God's character is clear. It remains clear. God is the Lord of the harvest. And the Apostle Paul reinforces that message by writing about the spread of the gospel this way. He says in 1 Corinthians 3, verses 5 and 6, Paul writes, "I planted, Apollos watered, but God brings the fruit." And he goes on to say, "Neither he who plants nor he who waters is anything, but only God who gives it growth." I don't know if you're sort of catch yourself in that, but he's sort of saying, you human people that are involved, you know, in the witnessing mission, are not anything. I mean, that's an extreme language, but he's doing it to make a point. And the point is simply this, that God does the heavy lifting in witnessing. Let me just try to explain. I can remember when my sister Rosemary came to me, my beloved sister Rosemary came to me and said, "I want to thank you, Nelson, for leading me to faith in Christ. I am just so grateful for you leading me to faith in Christ." You know, she told me that, and I let that sink in, and I thought, wow, you know, what? So, you know, how did I respond to such a joyous moment in my family? I said, huh? I had no memory of having any role in leading my sister to Christ. I mean, mentally, I cycled back. And I thought, was there any point when we prayed together to receive Christ? There was nothing. I just couldn't think of anything. Equally unsatisfying was a story when I actually did have the chance to be on the scene when someone prayed to receive Christ. It was more recently. But this story was equally unsatisfying, and here's why. You know, a guy is ready to pray to receive Christ, and he tells me that. And we've been chatting together, and I thought, oh no, you know, I was terrible. The way I shared the faith, it was awful. I was so bad in what I said to him and my witnessing to him. You know, I didn't share good examples. I didn't really tell the story right. I didn't articulate it very well. And he said, "No, you know, I'm ready to pray to receive Christ." And I thought, no, not now. It was all so bad. I mean, you want a much better story of coming to faith than the one I've helped create for you. But he said, no, I'm ready to pray to receive Christ. Well, what do the two stories have in common? The stories are evidence that it's God who saves. And there are people who are on the scene and who have a part and are bricks in the road of that process of coming to faith. But God has rigged it so that he's going to get the glory. Praise be to God when someone comes to faith. He gets the glory because it's God who saves. So the question is, you know, what is our part? Well, Jesus says, we're just workers. We're just workers. Twice Jesus puts it that way. So what does it mean to be a worker? When was the last time you heard the phrase, "Don't ask me, I just work here"? You know that phrase? Don't ask me. I just work here. You know, you go to the Starbucks and the door's closing and the girl says, you say, "I really want a latte. I've just got to have a latte." And she says, "I don't make the rules. Don't ask me. We're closed. I just work here." You know, it's really a great phrase. It's a lot better phrase than maybe it comes across at first blush, because most of us have so many responsibilities. You know, at work, people come to us and they have problems and issues and we got to solve them. You know, we're responsible for everything. And maybe you can take that into the home as well. And maybe you've got kids and, you know, your kids are having trouble with homework and they want money and they're having relationship problems and they want money and they don't do their chores and they want money. And, you know, wouldn't it be great? I mean, this is really good if you think about it. Wouldn't it be great, parents, if you had the chance to just say to your kids, "Kids, don't ask me. I just work here." the point is, it's a gift to be just a worker sometime without all that responsibility. It's really a gift. My day off each week is Monday, and the last 3 Mondays I spent in the yard blowing leaves. And it's been particularly enjoyable this year because I bought myself a leaf blower. And I went to the store, actually went on the internet, and at first I looked at the 280 model. Then I looked at the 380 model. Then I looked at the 480 model. I kept talking to the salesman about it, and I just kept going up. And finally, I bought the 580 BTS Husqvarna blower, because when I go out into my yard, the leaves just fly out of there. It's a great feeling. And one of the reasons that I thought about this in this message, and one of the reasons that I love Mondays in the yard, is that I'm not responsible for anything. You know, I'm not responsible for how the leaves got on the trees, or how the trees got there, or what colors they turn in the fall, or when they fall. I'm just a worker. I just go out there and I blow the leaves to the street. The point is, it's a great feeling to just be a worker sometimes. And here's the point. With evangelism and witness, so often all of us take on all this responsibility. We feel like we've got to save people, because we're used to doing that in other realms of life. And Jesus is saying here, just be a worker. You know, like a gardener who takes a simple hoe and watering can into the field each day. Just do the simple tasks in your friendships of fostering and of nurturing and developing, like the gardener does in the field. For example, my wife Lisa and I were at a backyard gathering in our neighborhood last Friday night, and Duck Dynasty, the TV show, came up in conversation. And somebody said, an unchurched friend of ours just said at the end of the conversation, "Isn't it great how they pray at the end of the show?" Well, then we had a little conversation about prayer. That was cultivation. Another neighbor is in and out of our home frequently, and we talk about all manner of things. We talk about our mutual struggle and about family life. We talk about anxiety and lots of topics. Those are moments of cultivation. I have a YMCA buddy, unchurched friend of mine, and we swim together, and we find ourselves on the treadmill sometimes together. And sometimes I'll just say to him, "Do you mind if I run my sermon by you? Because I really want to know what people who are not in church think about these things." And that gives me a great moment of cultivation. And this morning, I'm in Einstein's about 6 o'clock. And the guy, you know, looks at his watch and he says, "You're here pretty early. What are you up to?" So I had a moment, a conversation. And again, that's cultivation. See, all these moments are just, they're just small moments. But they're just the gardening in the field. And they're just the cultivation of conversation. To seek openly, to live openly out of the grace that we ourselves have received from God. That's what Jesus is talking about here with witnessing. It's just the simple moments of cultivation. See, the conclusion of the story of God's pursuit of us, of humankind, is that God hasn't left us harassed and helpless like sheep doomed to our own destruction. But Jesus has become our good shepherd. And of course that happened on the cross. In John 10:11, Jesus records these words. It says, "I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd lays his life down for his sheep." And so when we are brought into the mission of God through the saving of work of Jesus, then we are thrust out in the pursuing love of God to the friends, neighbors, and coworkers that he's put us around. And so let me just give you a few little tips for cultivation. First, notice the people God has put in your life. Lead in friendship with your need, not what you have to offer. Let other people see your vulnerability, not your strength. Eat together and invite people into your home often. Don't hide your faith, and let people see that your faith is real and that you struggle. Learn to share your story of faith and the gospel message, and everyone should take witness training or any of the courses that Bruce Dreisbach is offering here. team with other Christians you know to offer hospitality to your friends, neighbors, and coworkers. Friends, this is what it means simply to be involved in cultivation. And mainly, as we conclude, Jesus says, pray. You know, ask the Lord of the harvest that he would send forth workers into the harvest field. The reflection section of your bulletin says this: the church must learn that mission is missio Dei, the mission of God, and so primarily God's concern. And the closest we can get to recruitment is prayer. Now, I want us to take this very, very seriously. I have been led in just the last 30 to 60 days to pray for the church daily. And I want to call you to pray for the church daily. Pray for the third church at Forest and at Pump. Pray for the church around the world. Just pray for the church daily. And as you pray, pray that God would raise up workers, cultivators of spiritual friendships where he has us. And then finally, pray that we'd be willing to be sent out. You know, when it says there, pray, ask the Lord of the harvest to send forth, the word literally there, it's ekbalo, and the word literally means to push out or thrust out. I have a real sense of that at Pump, of being just pushed out. And we all are called to be pushed out somehow, some way. You know, maybe you need to be pushed out in your own neighborhood that you're living in now. Maybe being thrust out in the mission of God means just taking a walk across the street. Maybe you want to be a part of our mission at Pump. So friends, as we conclude, let's pray together. God, we thank you for your message of grace, that you have pursued us in love, that we have been recipients of that pursuing love that Jesus so evidenced for us as he went to all the towns and villages forgiving and healing. And we pray if there are some who've not yet received that forgiveness and healing, that they would receive that today. And Father, we pray now that you would cause Third Church to flourish. We want your kingdom work to be powerful, and all that your Spirit would want to do through us, you would do. So call us to pray and raise up workers in our midst and throughout churches in Richmond to be part of your kingdom mission in the harvest field. This we pray in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.